Everybody, welcome to week two of Permadeath Weekly. I am your host, Bill Conway, and I hope you enjoyed this week's track of the week. It's a very special one that I picked for a very special occasion. Our friend Yoshi has a game coming out today, Yoshi's Crafted World for the Nintendo Switch. So I figured I would use my favorite Yoshi song. Now, I know this is maybe, to some, a very annoying song. I don't think it's a very popular song in terms of it being a well-regarded composition. But who doesn't like the Yoshis just belting out their anthem? You know? They're singing the song of the Yoshi. That's the Yoshi song to me. When I think of Yoshi, I think of Yoshi's Story. It's also my favorite Yoshi game, which also might be a little blasphemous to some people. So now that I've offended all Yoshi fans out there, welcome to Permadeath Weekly. I am your host, Bill Conway. I think I already said that. I don't remember if I said that. You know what I vowed to do? I was talking to Kinross, who, if you don't know, if you're a brand new listener to Permadeath Weekly and you don't know the Permadeath Podcast, which is our main show, which you can find on the same very feed, or if you're not listening to this on a podcast app and you're listening to this on YouTube, guess what? You can find all of our stuff on any podcast service you want. And not only that, but this show and our main show, the Permadeath Podcast, are in the same feed. So you don't have to go digging around through the muck and the dirt to find both of our shows. This is one big animal. One big animal just barreling through the internet with you. But I was talking to Kinross last week, and I had three separate takes of the first week of Permadeath Weekly. And like, for a podcast, I love podcasts. I love doing podcasts because to me it's kind of just a hit record and fuck it button. You know, it's the kind of content where you just go, say fuck it, and hit record, and go, and if you have a mishap, it's in there. You know, it isn't some snappy, edited video. You know, I could just throw shit to the wall, and if it doesn't stick, I'll leave it on the floor. But I had three separate takes last week, and by the end of it, man, my voice hurt. My throat hurt, and you can kind of hear it in that episode. I mean, you know, I could anyway, because I know what I should sound like, opposed to what I sound like while I'm labored after recording an hour episode for 3 hours. So my vow, I was talking to Karen, so I'm like, I'm not going to do that ever again. If I fuck up, I'm just going to let it roll and go with it. So I'm your host, Bill Conway, and if I said that two other times already, fuck it. I said it again, you know? I'm confident in saying my name three times. Oh, also, I was thinking about something today at work. Before I get into what we're talking about today, again, if you watch on YouTube, you can see the rundown for today's show. And I also want to get this out of the way. If you ever open up an episode of Permadeath Weekly, because I want to kind of get this point across. Not that I had any comments like this or messages about this, but if you ever open up an episode of Permadeath Weekly and don't see like a story there, like a big story for the week, and you're like, Bill, what the hell? How are you missing that? That shit was big news. That's a big pot of stew that you're just leaving out on the counter. I'm not concerning myself with like trying to hit every single story every week. You know, even like, you know, I might purposely ignore some big ones. It's just kind of the stories of the week that I kind of want to talk about in a certain amount of time, you know? So if you're ever missing one, you can let me know, you know, if you want, and I can let you know what I think of it or maybe include it in a future episode. You know, every episode doesn't necessarily have to just be, you know, things included in this particular week. But again, if you ever see a story in the rundown that you think should be there, it's just, I'm not running an actual news ticker here. You know, it's just kind of what's on my noggin for the end of that particular week. But I was thinking at work today. So I listen to music at work. I listen to podcasts at work. But I keep my headphones on when I walk through the office. You know, if I want to go to the vending machine and get a Cheez-It or a lemonade or whatever, I keep my headphones on. And I don't know if anyone else does this. Maybe this is just me. You know, it might just be me, But I like, before I get up out of my desk, let's say I have Spotify on shuffle or something like that. Before I get up out of my desk, I have to make sure there's a cool walk-in song on. You know, I'm sure a lot of people feel this way. For me, it's mostly to distract myself from the fact that I probably look stupid walking through the office. I don't have a particularly cool walk. But even if you don't have a cool walk, you can kind of like crutch that with a cool song. You know, if you have a cool walk-in song, even if you walk like a dope, then you're walking cool, man. At least in your own mind. Your perception of yourself is different when you have a cool walk-in song on. So I wanted to go get a snack, and I'm going through shuffle. And sometimes I'll sit there for 5 straight minutes and until a cool walk-in song comes up. And that's just wasting my time. It's wasting my work time. People, bosses are probably like, Bill, the fuck are you doing? Stop shuffling your music. Go get your damn Cheez-It and sit back down and work. So today I was walking, and I didn't think about putting a walk-in song on. I was just kind of like, you know what? I have to pee. Sorry for being explicit. But, you know, everybody takes a piss. A lot of people want to talk about everybody poops. A lot of people want to say, oh, everybody poops. Everybody poops. As if peeing isn't there too. Deserves a nod, a shout out. But I had to get up and again, I'm going to say it. Be explicit here. I had to get up and pee. I'm also going to grab a snack. But so I didn't think about really putting a walk-in song on. I just kind of got up and walked. Now, I have some things in my Spotify that are saved that I don't particularly have in there because I think they're like cool. You know, not everything's a walk-in song. I'm not going to save you just because you're a walk-in song. So I happen to have the classic old-school RuneScape soundtrack saved to my Spotify. Let me tell you something. You are not cool, okay, walking through an office of dozens and dozens of people to Harmony from RuneScape, the song Harmony. You are not cool. I'll have that song playing in the background as I'm talking here. And I'm walking, and it's just the oddest sensation. Because, like I said, I put these walking songs on because I want to feel cool. And, like, usually it works. I know I'm not cool. I know I don't look cool. But I have it on, so I feel cool. And nothing could stop me from feeling this. But as I was walking, because then also if it's a cool walking song, you can kind of get into a cool little rhythm with your walk, you know? That's what I'm talking about when I say, even if you don't have a cool walk, you have one when a cool walking song's on. But with a RuneScape track, an old school MIDI RuneScape track on, you can't get your walk into a rhythm. And you start to become self-conscious about the steps you're taking. And with the headphones on, you can't really hear your steps. So, like, you're totally melting down. Your whole entire walk is like, should I continue this? You know, should I freeze? Should I pretend to sneeze? Take the headphones off so that way, you know, I don't just look like I heard something shrill? I kept it on, though. I kept walking, you know? It was interesting. I'm going to make sure to never do that again. Because it just felt wrong, you know? You can't really... There's plenty of video game music you could walk cool to. That's the other thing. Because I have other shit saved in there. You know, I have cool Stardew songs. I have some, like, neat, like, Elder Scrolls. I mean, then again, walking the Elder Scrolls stuff, I mean, it's going to expect to get encountered by an NPC or something. You think you can get Cheez-Its here? You've not talked to me in months there. Goodbye. Some shit like that. But anyway, yeah, that's the word that I have. Anybody have any walking songs? I know I seen like commercials like that, you know, when like wireless headphones became a thing. I don't always see these commercials like walk like a badass. I don't know. You see, now this is one of those moments, okay? That ending to that segment there, walk like a badass, that's not a funny parody of any commercial. In fact, that's horrible. That's where old Billy of just last week old Billy would have said, nah, that's it, cut that. I'm scrapping that entire bit, and we're recording that over. But no, I'm saving my voice today. I have a little update on the whole Judgment thing. You know, it's funny, I talked last week about Sega erasing Pierre Taki from their game because of his drug use. And the very next day, we got word from Sega on what its Western release entails. So this comes from Game Informer and Imran Khan, who writes in his article, Sega has announced that Judgment's release date in the West is unaltered and that the game is still coming out on June 25th. However, the company has noted that the mocap and voice performance of the character, Kyohei Hamura, will be adjusted. While it isn't clear what that means, it definitely suggests Pierre Taki, who was arrested on suspicion of cocaine use, is being replaced. You can read the full statement in here. Due to unforeseen circumstances, the character model and the character model and Japanese voice for the character of Kyohei will be adjusted for the Western release of Judgment, launching on June 25th. So, yeah, this is exactly what they did with Yakuza 4's remaster in Japan, is they just kind of erased the guy and put a new actor in. So, while I'm happy we're getting this game on June 25th, and it's not going to be something where the Western release is totally canceled or the Western release is delayed a year, we're getting it the same exact time. We're still getting it in 3 months. 3 months seems like a very short turnaround to just completely change a character model and bring a new actor in and give a performance. Doesn't that seem a little fucking crazy to anybody else? Like, that's a short turnaround. Like, how good is that going to be? I mean, whatever. I mean, the thing is the work of the developer themselves, you know, in terms of replacing this guy, I'm skeptical because, like, it's so weird to just, you know, you base your story and your character and its presence around this actor, you know, and then removing him, you know, how does that feel? You know, I'll never know as a player because I will never have played the original. I'll have to watch, like, a Japanese Let's Play of that or something to get the full idea of what I've been missing out on. But I have total faith kind of in that development team because I've never played a game of theirs that sucks, you know? Like, I love every Yakuza game that I've played. They're all masterpieces in my mind. They're all super consistent and gripping and funny and fun to play. So in terms of them, you know, being able to churn this out in a short amount of time, I don't not have faith in them. I just still disagree with this decision. Just leave him in the fucking game, you know? I didn't know this in the article. A suspicion of cocaine use. What, do they even have the full fucking details yet on this guy? And they're going to just trash him in the toilet? But the news here is that we are still getting the game on June 25th, which is cool for people who want to play it. So yeah, that's our update on Judgment. You know, I encountered something weird yesterday. So it's the 25th anniversary of the Elder Scrolls. So there's some cool things that come with that. If you're listening to this, it might be gone by now, but Morrowind's free currently. If it's still free of you listening to this, go grab it. But you have to use BethesdaNet's thing to get it, their launcher. But they put out, as you all know, last E3, they announced Elder Scrolls Blades, which is their Elder Scrolls mobile game, which is exciting, you know? I'm not one to just take a big dump on mobile games. Or, if we're running with the theme of this episode, take a big pee on mobile games. I like mobile games. When they're done well, I'll play them. Even when they're done poorly, I'll check them out for a week and be like, yeah, that was fine, and then move on. That's fine. There is no buy-in here. I don't mind that stuff. So I'm okay with them announcing mobile games like that. It's cool. That's why, you know, again, I'm on the side of, I don't really think anything's wrong with that Diablo mobile game. But we'll get into that when I actually get to play the Diablo mobile game. I'm looking forward to playing it. So, to my surprise yesterday, I had... When Elder Scrolls Blades was announced, and then, you know, further details were given, it was put up on the Play Store to pre-register for it, you know? I'm like, cool, yeah, sure, fuck it, I'll do that, why not? Get a notification when it's live. I'm sitting at work yesterday, I get a notification, 2 days ago, rather, because this is Friday, this episode's out, sorry.
Now y'all know when I record it, I don't record this on Fridays. Everything's a lie.
And everything can't be a lie. Because if I had recorded it on Fridays, how the fuck are you listening to it? It's early in the morning. What do you think I am? Nocturnal? So I get a notification on my phone, sitting at work, that says, Elder Scrolls Blades is available to download now. And I'm like, oh, fuck yeah. I didn't even think about this. 25th anniversary of Elder Scrolls. This makes perfect sense. So I go to my lunch break. I download it. Pretty small download. I honestly expected it to be pretty large. You know, whenever I'm downloading a game that's not just some anime waifu game, I always expect that notification that says, this shit's pretty big, fella. You sure you don't want to use Wi-Fi? And so I was like, no, I don't. I just go. Just download it, buddy. I've never said yes in my life to this question. So just fucking download it. But I didn't. I didn't get the notification this time. Relatively short download, which should have been red flag number one. Okay, to what my eventual fate was here. Now, I when I saw the pre-reg notification, as I was waiting for it to download, I Googled it, you know, Elder Scrolls Blades, you know, is it out? Like, what does this mean? Because when you go to the Google Store page, it says this product is now in early access. And I'm like, okay, cool. It's a mobile game. Every mobile game to me is in early access. You know, none of these things are done. Everything's iterating and taking your money at the same time. But I saw that it was in early access. So I'm like, okay, interesting. Did I get picked for this beta? Whatever. So I download it. I open it up. Gives me a cool little cutscene. It's like, the Blades were an organization that fought the Thalmor. And then it gives you a little combat tutorial thing where it teaches you how to fight. And you fight an elf. And then it takes you to, and then it like starts loading. And then it takes you to a splash screen that says, thank you for downloading the Elder Scrolls Blades. To ensure a smooth launch, we're inviting people into the early access in waves. Please keep your eyes tuned for the notification or email address or email letting you know when it's time to play. And I'm like, are you fucking, what the hell is that? What the hell is that? If I wasn't picked to play your early access Elder Scrolls Blades experience, don't make me download your game and do your tutorial, man. What a fucking dick tease. Like, I mean, granted, okay, I'm getting upset that I can't play this probably crappy Elder Scrolls mobile game. This sounds like an overreaction, as if this is the most hyped thing in the world and I just got dumped out of the Half-Life 3 beta or something like that. But the matter is this game's like, was it kind of supposed to be out? Like, it's weird to me that it's still kind of just like, it's an early access, there was betas, there was this. They announced it like almost a year ago, dude. I want to play this shit. It was just hilarious that there was no build-up at all to that splash screen. You know, you download it, you're getting yourself hyped. It's like, oh man, you know, even if this is mediocre, it's still some like new Elder Scrolls stuff, you know, that isn't just ESO. And then you do this combat thing. Okay, the combat's okay, but I can get into this. You know, it looks nice. The graphics are kind of cool. Let's, you know, let's do some Elder Scrolls-y stuff on my lunch break. Let's go. And then you just get taken to a screenshot of a website. So, anybody out there who might have gotten that pre-reg notification, like my brother came up to me this morning and he's like, yo, Billy, Elder Scrolls Blades is out. And I said, dude, walk with caution, because you're going to open that app, you're going to fight a Thalmor, and then the game's going to say, sorry, you wasted your time. You're not in. And you're going to sit there and go, well, I suddenly don't care. But, I mean, hey, once I get that email that says I'm in the early access, I'm down to play. Speaking of early access, Dreams. We all know Dreams, that PlayStation 4 exclusive that's been seemingly coming out now since I was but a sperm. Got a date for its early access period. So instead of waiting for this game to launch fully, Media Molecule, who, by the way, I don't want to make too many jokes about this game taking too long, because all the coverage that I've absorbed of this game, everything I've read from and watched from Game Informer, and then even from their beta streams and all of these neat, pieces of insight into the development of this game, they are making something here that is ridiculous. And I don't say that, like, you know, with hyperbole. Like, this is truly fucking insane. The stuff that people made in that closed beta, and that's only with a short amount of closed beta time, okay? Like, the stuff people were able to do within the confines and limitations of Little Big Planet, given unlimited amount of time without confines and the constrictions and that time crunch of a beta, some of that shit blew my mind. And this is that expanded, you know, infinity. So, like, this is a super exciting product that I'm super excited to play. And I'm really happy they're doing this early access period. Now, I believe this, it's coming out April 16th, by the way. I said the whole idea of this headline was that they're, because they had previously announced early access for this game a few weeks ago, that this game was going to skip a traditional release because they want to get it into people's hands. But they announced today that its early access date is April 16th. It's going to cost $29.99, and it will be available in the U.S., Canada, and all European territories. Says here in the Game Informer article from Elise Faves that to get your hands on it, all you have to do is purchase Dreams Early Access from the PlayStation Store when it arrives next month. By buying this version, you won't need to repurchase the game when it launches later on, and your creations will carry over to the release version too. Media Molecule says that entry to early access is still somewhat limited, but it's a big limit. Reddy from Media Molecule says that to avoid disappointment, we do recommend you purchase as soon as you can to enjoy all of the creator tools available. So that's super exciting because, I mean, like in my mind, this game is, they call this early access. To me, this game was like pretty much soft launching on April 16th. You know, and what's incredible about it is that it's $30. And then when the full game comes out, you don't have to purchase it again. So if you have any interest at all in Dreams, although, you know, the purchase limit, the purchase amount is limited. It doesn't, you know, there's no exact details on how many people that is. I'm really curious on that, but they do say it's a big limit. So if you have any interest in Dreams at all, run to that PlayStation store on April 16th and buy that beta, because not only are you getting to play this game early and get your hands on something that people have been dying to eat up for years now, but you're like kind of getting the game half off, huh? Like if you have any interest at all, like that's pretty generous. You know, but I also look at it as a nice, easy buy-in for the people who are going to populate this game for players who buy it when it comes out. Like, this is so cool because when Little Big Planet games come out, you know, or any games with a creation tool for that matter, we're looking at Super Mario Maker 2 this year, and you know, even that game's predecessor, Mario Maker 1. There's always that period of time where there's two groups of people who play these games. The people who want to just play user-made levels, and then the people who are super creative, who are not me, and make things for us to enjoy, you know, with no intention other than we like being creative and making things for you to enjoy. But there's always that buffer period where there's not much content to play for the players like me who don't want to make anything but just want to experience people's creativity. There's that like a month or two period of time where, you know, that ramp up is kind of slow as people learn the tools, as people get, I mean, work their way around the UI and get their handle on what their limits are with this engine and with these creation tools that they're given. So this creates a really nice early access period for all of these people who were making such incredible stuff in that closed beta in such a short amount of time, letting all those people through the gates and just populate Dreams' servers with a plethora of incredible stuff. So that way when Dreams launches on day one, they could probably package together a pretty fucking sick launch trailer of all of the stuff that was made in early access to really sell you on Dreams. Because even though I think at this point, you know, we've always had those questions of like, oh, what is Dreams? What could you do in Dreams? We don't really know. At this point, it's pretty clear how powerful and substantial Dreams can be. We've had lots of things leak from their NDAs with the closed beta. They then lifted that NDA. People were remaking PT and Dead Space levels, and just the sheer breadth of stuff people were making and the assets they were sharing was really cool and really fun to see. It was really unique. It was an aspect of just pure, I'm doing this on a controller, like content creation that we haven't gotten probably since the original Little Big Planets, you know? Because as much as I love Mario Maker, you're still making Mario stuff. You know, Dreams is something special. So being able to showcase an entire community's stuff in your launch trailer for the full launch of this game, early access is about as good an idea as you can get for Dreams. Because for people who don't want to buy in early or maybe are skeptical, there's no longer that buffer period for them when that game officially launches of, well, there's not really a lot of content to play because people just got the game. Instead, no, you're going to have a ton of shit to go through. And I think that's awesome, and that's a huge boon. Now, I'm going to get it in early access because I'm going to buy Dreams no matter what. And having Dreams for $30 is super attractive. But also, I kind of want to try to make some stuff in here. You know, going to try my hands out and see what I can make with these tools, because they're super impressive. And speaking of super impressive, this story kind of has two sides of it, two sides of the coin. So PlayStation had their State of Play event on Monday, which a lot of people were expecting to be PlayStation's version of the Nintendo Direct, and that's pretty much what it boiled down to. It was PlayStation's Nintendo Direct. Now, it left a lot of people unimpressed. I don't think it was anything like mind-blowing, you know. I thought it was fine, though. You know, it is what it is. You know, they never promised anything specific with this. You know, like most Nintendo Directs they don't, but a lot of times they'll be like, "Hey, this is the Pokemon Direct," and then you kind of know, okay, we're getting a Pokemon game. Sony was kind of just like, hey, We're going to do a state of play. We're going to announce some new things, little new things, and some VR stuff. So it's no surprise that they talked a lot about VR. They announced a lot of neat, fun VR games, which I'm all about. If state of plays were just VR stuff, that's cool with me, because I think it's great that this long into its life cycle, because there's still skeptics out there, and I don't quite understand your take, if you're still a skeptic on in terms of how much Sony is supporting PlayStation VR. I mean, yeah, I get it. You know, it doesn't have like Uncharted, the Golden Visor, or any shit like that for it. But Sony puts it out in front often. They like to talk about it at their presentations. They don't always maybe do a whole blowout. But this thing did not go the way of the Vita or the Moves, which is funny because the Moves are now back in action. The PSVR has stayed a nice staple. And some people are like, they're not even going to fucking make one for PS5. This is a waste. Well, I don't know, man, because the PSVR, the other bit of news out of this is that PlayStation VR has sold, up till now, 4.2 million units. It's the top-selling VR headset, which isn't a surprise, really, because it is the most accessible of the high-end VR headsets. You know, like, put it in your PS4 and play your games. You don't have to worry about anything else. The tracking is kind of mediocre compared to higher-end VR headsets. But, I mean, in terms of, like, hey, I want to play Astrobot. Hey, I want to play Tetris Effect, Beat Saber. You know, it's such an attractive... Skyrim, Borderlands, it's such an attractive little unit. And it has gone so cheap so many times during the holidays that, man, there is no surprise this thing has sold so well for a VR headset, you know? And it's super nice to see. That excites me, because VR... I've gone on record of saying this, I don't know where, if I've said it on Permadeath Podcast or on Twitter, but VR is my favorite video game advancement, probably like since online gaming, you know, since I stepped foot into Halo 2 and WoW for the first time, you know, when I was like, wow, you know, this kind of blows my door open. You know, VR is just incredible, and I'm giddy every time I play something I love in it. That effect has not worn off, which has me so excited that the one game I've been waiting for in VR, and I was never certain if they'd pull it off, especially on PlayStation VR. And this is something that is confirmed for Steam VR as well. And that's No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky in VR. The whole game. The entire experience. Sean Murray has said, everything you can do in regular No Man's Sky. Every new update, every new piece of multiplayer, every new daily, weekly mission, whatever the fuck. No Man's Sky in its entirety, all future updates, all current content, is playable in VR. What the fuck? What the hell? This is like, you know, one thing we don't get often in VR. I think one thing I guess you can knock it for, if you want to try to knock it for something and be a dick, is that there is a lack of, like, meaty experiences, you know? And that's just due to the difficulty of developing VR games, you know? We aren't getting these 27-hour RPGs in VR because it's just a whole entire different market, man. And it's also a lot to ask of somebody to sit in VR for these 8-hour, you know, sessions that you would put into something like Divinity. You know, oh yeah, go ahead, sit in this headset for 80 hours of your life in a technology that we don't really know if it's going to kill us yet or not, you know? It's such a different market. So when we get a piece of content like No Man's Sky in VR, Borderlands 2, Skyrim, you know, Astrobot and Tetris Effect, these games that we could really sink our teeth into and spend time with, that's exciting for me because I'm not really sensitive. I've been super lucky. You know, it's one of those things where I am eternally full of sorrow for anybody who is sensitive to VR, people who get motion sick, people who have an issue with it, because I'm, you know, it's such a bummer, you know, because that's usually what is the deciding factor of whether or not you really like VR is whether or not your body can take it. And, you know, I hype it up to people so many times, and then sometimes, you know, a friend might end up, you know, buying into that hype, buying a headset, and then finding out that every game I've just recommended to them makes them extremely violently motion sick. And then I'm like, fuck, I always forget about that aspect of it because I don't deal with any of that. So it's exciting for me to go into a game like No Man's Sky, and presumably it'll be there, turn off all of the handicap features, all of the blind spot stuff, and just sit in my space. Like, oh my god, just thinking about landing on a fucking planet, that still blows my mind in No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky is still a game I love playing. I put a ton of hours back into it with the newest update they put out last year. I love that game. It's a game that I honestly even loved when it came out. It's a game that was deeply flawed, but being able to play this shit in VR, man, the whole experience, landing onto fucking space stations, you know, going out into a dogfight, landing onto a planet's atmosphere, building a base, going under the ocean, digging into a cave. Man, shit. You have no idea how much I'm salivating for this experience right now. I can't fucking wait for this in virtual reality. I can't fucking wait for it. And I'm so glad that they did announce it for PC as well, because I might actually pick up an Oculus and play it on PC VR instead. But I mean, I have the PS4 version of it too, so I might as well check it out on there. I'm just curious how it's going to look. That's my biggest red flag with No Man's Sky, because it's been such a struggle for them to get that thing running at 60 on the PS4 Pro. And they've done a really good job optimizing it, but there are still instances of dips. So I'm really curious, because VR, man, your frame rate needs to be rock solid, or people will puke. Even people who have VR legs will puke their guts out in a game that's dropping frames constantly. That's really fucking with your head. So I'm super curious how it's going to look then, you know? Because I think it's a really pretty game. It looks like total dog poopy on PS4. Maybe, I don't know, you know? I guess that'll be my deciding factor if I want to get it on Oculus. Or get an Oculus. I do want an Oculus as the VR fan. I want to dive into PC VR as well. So I'm keeping my eyes on that Oculus Rift S that they just announced, which I haven't talked about, which I won't talk about here. But yeah, man. They also announced Iron Man VR, which cool. But, I mean, No Man's Sky. That's where it's really at, huh? Next, I have this segment might be reoccurring. I don't know. But it's called, hey, here's a heads up. And these are just four, I guess, really quick things that I'm not going to extrapolate on. I'm just going to go. As of listening to this, if you have Twitch Prime, and if you don't know if you have Twitch Prime, if you have Amazon Prime, guess what? You have Twitch Prime. And no, I'm not begging you to sub to our Twitch. But if you have Twitch Prime, you can get a free year of Nintendo Switch Online right now. And that offer lasts, I believe, you know, I had this up on my screen before I started recording. If you have it, that offer is up until September 24th. So that's a lot of time. You have 6 months to grab yourself a year of Nintendo Switch Online, which is that's a pretty sick deal. Granted, it's only $20 worth of time, but still, it's free. And you can get your ass kicked in Tetris 99 by me. Another, hey, here's a heads up. I'm going to roll into one giant topic here. Two very popular indie roguelites are getting some free DLC. And if you like these games, but you don't like them enough to pay attention to their headlines, I hope I'm surprising you and making your day by saying on April 5th, Enter the Gungeon is getting its final DLC, A Farewell to Arms, which will be free. That'll be available on all platforms on that date. I'm in Dead Cells, indie darling Dead Cells, today, as I'm recording this on Thursday, as you're listening to this Friday. Guess what? If you didn't know it existed, you can go download it right now on PC. They just released their Rise of Giants DLC for free. That adds a whole bunch of cool stuff, new bosses, new areas, stuff like that. Oh, and if you haven't been paying attention to the news, they announced Borderlands 3. But there's nothing really to talk about on Borderlands 3. I'd love to sit down and speculate on the route they're going to go with that game, because they really didn't share too much. Will it go with a full games as a service thing, or will they stick to their Borderlands 2 model, big expansion pack DLCs, which I guess is the games as a service. That is the model. But you know what I mean. The microtransaction-filled, cosmetic-filled, you know, model that Destiny and Division and Anthem all carry the banner for. This is where I would typically give you my Sekiro impressions. But I'm not pretty close. I'm about 30 hours deep into Sekiro right now. And I am gonna make my final push in that game, I think, over the weekend, and maybe early into next week. And I'm kind of probably gonna save my thoughts on Sekiro until then. I will say that I love it dearly. It's gonna be very tough to rank like my favorite From Software games. I think Bloodborne is still the GOAT for me. There's just something about Bloodborne's world that still just tickles me. You know, I love it. But Sekiro does a lot of amazing things. It flips a lot of From Software and Souls conventions on its head, and does this incredible dance with its combat that kind of takes you and throws you into a loop for how you should be approaching these fights, because everybody has it in their heads to attack Souls and Bloodborne bosses a certain way, and this just flips it, and it's fucking hard. And not just that, you know, period of adaptation and evolution you need to take with yourself, that From Software natural selection period where it's like, oh, wow, this isn't just Dark Souls. This isn't just Bloodborne. I need to adapt or die and never play this game again. There is an amazing sense of accomplishment when you do that. But even after that period, this is probably, honestly, one of the hardest video games I've ever played in my life. This is a game where I mean, I can't speak for all of you. Some of you guys might be just kings of the sticks. But I have spent hours on some boss fights. And now, that is not, a new thing with From Games. You know, I have been stuck on bosses in Bloodborne for days. You know, Ludwig in Old Hunters DLC, I'm looking at you, buddy. You big fuck. But, you know, there's something different the way that you approach these Sekiro fights. There's really no way to cheese a lot of these, you know. You need to really attack these mechanics and these deflect mechanics and these, and you need to parry, which is something that if you suck at that in the Souls games, man, you're in for something. You're in for a world of hurt in Sekiro. But yeah, I mean, the world and music and the storytelling and just, you know, all that signature From stuff is there. It tells a linear story this time around. I'd say linear, more of a traditional, I should say. It's not necessarily, you know what I mean, though. It tells you a story with cutscenes and dialogue rather than the typical, oh, this guy found a candle item in the bottom of a shoe and he read the lore on it and he figured out what the ending is. This is more of a traditional method, but there's still so much to dig into. They tell you a story, but they aren't, you know, spelling it all out for you. There are still item descriptions. There are still things to infer and dig into and study, which is great. You know, it marries two worlds of storytelling, From Software's traditional way and our traditional way, and you get some new mix of it, and it's great. But yeah, I'm loving it. I love every minute I've played of it so far. I'm looking forward to finishing it up. I would like to kind of save my full opinions on that game for the regular Permadeath podcast. So we'll see how that all lines up. Because, again, like I said last week, I don't want to really talk about the stuff I've been playing on here. Just little bits and bytes, you know, of the stuff that I have small impressions of. And now with The Division, that was really early on. Whereas with Sekiro, I'm pretty into this game. I'm 30 hours in at this point. You know, it's not really my early impressions anymore. So I kind of want to save that stuff. So I hope you understand that and don't get mad at me. But I think I've given you enough to chew on if you're on the fence with Sekiro. It's hard, man. This shit's hard. I keep hearing people talk about how it's the most accessible Souls game ever. And I think in certain instances, sure, certain areas of the game and certain design philosophies and the way that they approach certain things, you know, it's heavily tutorialized in the beginning. You know what? I want to reel that back. I don't want to say heavily, but it just seems so because it's so much more tutorialized than any other Souls game. And I can see how someone would see that and go, oh no, here we go. Activision's got their fingers in the pie. When in reality, Activision has only published this game here in the States. So Activision really has nothing to do with this game and its design. But, you know, I can see where someone would get a little suspicious when they open the game and there is a tutorial. It does tell you how to do things. It does tell you, hey, this is that. Press this button to do this. You know, and it gives you little guides and things like that. And there are skill trees and stuff. And so, oh, wow, you know, this is a lot more traditional of a game from. But after that, any worries of this game being hand-holdy or whatever are immediately washed away as you get your face punched by that first boss. You know, there is a difficulty spike in this game that happens very early on. You know, in the beginning, you feel cool. It's like, oh, man, I'm deflecting shit. I'm doing death blows. And then the game's just like, you know what? I had enough fun with you. I'm going to whoop your ass. And then it becomes one of the hardest games you'll ever play. This game is tough. Very difficult. And a lot of it does come down to shedding some old habits. But a lot of it is just, this game is tough, man. And that's cool. I like that about it. Yeah, so that about does it for this week's Permadeath Weekly. I don't have for you searching for the answers this week. I didn't get any good answers to any questions from Yahoo Answers, so I'm going to go ahead and take a stab at that next week. And I'm also going to be playing with a different way to integrate that into the show, opposed to it being a segment just at the end. That way it's not as sloppy, because I really liked it last week, but just kind of having me run down those questions one after another like that, it just kind of felt you know, a little clunky. So I do have an idea for integrating that, and I will do that next week. I'm gonna hope to get some better answers. If not, I have another segment for y'all that will replace it in due time. So, yeah, I have plans for everything. I am all seeing with this show. I am on a roll. 2 weeks in a row, baby. Anybody who doubted me, anybody out there who doubted me, Bill, you'll never do a weekly show, you little punk. You little punk bitch. Well, I got news for you, sucker. I'm here 2 weeks in a row, baby. What of it? Huh? Don't make me put my walking song on, fucker. Don't make me do that. I'll walk right to your house. Right to your house. You can make fun of me all you want, but I'll be walking right to the bank with the money you're going to pay me for this content. Because this content is a result of the lawsuit that I'm going to do. Thank you.